Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Hey, coming up, we're going to be having Joe McGee. Isn't he a blast? I'm telling you, you're going to have a blast with Joe McGee. Coming up, starting next week, we next weekend, we want to start the year out on purpose, intentionally for you. And so next weekend, we're bringing Doug Jones in, and we're going to talk about the next chapter in your life. If you've not yet had the chance to hear Doug Jones, just to remind you, when a friend of mine found out that Doug and Joe McGee were coming, he said, "Are you doing that satellite, you know, week back to back?" I said, "No, they're coming here." He said, "They're both coming to your church." Some of you may not know these people. Some of you might know their ministries, but they really are ministries that are so impactful in the body of Christ. So next weekend, we want to start your year out with Doug Jones. He's going to talk about the next chapter in your spiritual life. And then Joe McGee's going to talk about the next chapter in your relationships. And all I can tell you is with Joe McGee, come prepared. Actually, Doug Jones, he's pretty hysterical as well. But Joe McGee, somewhere in the middle, you're going to get taught. But I'm just telling you, you're going to leave and you will be in pain from crying, from just laughing in tears. I mean, the man is hysterical. The following week, I'm going to be sharing with you about the next chapter in your life in the context of the kingdom of God. Then the final week in that series, Michelle's going to be sharing about the next chapter of how to move beyond your past and how to live beyond that. And she's going to be sharing some things from her own life and some of the keys that she's learned in her own life to be able to walk free in some areas of her life. So we're really, really being very intentional about this. So I want to encourage you for you to be intentional and to make this a priority in your life. And first Wednesday, which we do, of course, the first Wednesday of every month, Pastor Steve's going to be speaking. So you really just want to make this a concentrated time for both you and for your kids. Today, I want to spend our last time together this year talking to you about a new day, how to live beyond your yesterday, how to learn how to close a chapter in your life, how to get past your past, how to move past things in your life that have kind of trapped you. Most people live their tomorrows based on the shadows of their past. In fact, the shadows of their past forecast their future, and that's how most people live. Philippians chapter 3, Paul wrote to the church of Philippi something incredible. In fact, these few verses are so full of the purpose of God for your life and how to get there. It's incredible. So we're going to just rest there mostly today. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12, Paul wrote, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Now, brothers, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but there is one thing I do. I am forgetting what is behind and pressing toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Paul wrote the church of Philippi and he said, "Do you understand that God took a hold of you?" How many of you have given your life to Christ? Raise your hand. Do you understand that you didn't find Jesus? He wasn't lost. He found you. How many of you know he sought you? He pursued you. He died for you. The Holy Spirit wooed you and drawed you to the Father's heart and drew you to the Father's heart. He went after you and he collected you into his heart. He took hold of you. But Paul said something really interesting. He said, "I have learned to take hold of that for which he took hold of me." In other words, there is a purpose that you are to take hold of in your life. That's a very intentional act. And what I've learned in 30 plus years of ministry and going on 22 years of pastoring this church, people are not intentional about their spiritual life. They're intentional about a ton of things in their life, but Christians have learned to be almost like your spiritual life will on just by itself evolve and grow, and it doesn't. Spiritual growth, like natural growth, has to be intentional. Education has to be intentional. If if you want to pursue any activity in your life, it has to be intentional. How many of you are going to eat after church? How many of you are just fasting? Okay, well, how many of you are going to go to a restaurant? Okay, good for the economy. God bless you. Now, do you know you have to be intentional? You can't just say we're going to go to a restaurant and never pick one. Now, if you're like us, anybody married? Okay, now Michelle's not here this morning. She was here last night, so I'm going to be brave and say this. And don't tell her I said it. Every time we go out, for going on now 27 years, honey, where do you want to eat? I don't care. You pick. I said, no, really, honey, whatever you'd like. No, you pick. I said, okay, let's go to Bravo's. Well, do we have it? I said, okay, honey, why don't you pick? No, you pick. Well, what do you say, you know, we'll go to, let me just, how about this, an Italian saying this, I'd never say this, let's go to Olive Garden. And actually, I do like Olive Garden salad and soup. The sauce, it's a bad sauce. None you eat the sauce, the Italian, and make you get a boil. No, if you work at Olive Garden, great salad, great salads, great soups. Breadsticks, not so good. But anyway, you have to be intentional. You'll have to make a decision, get in your car, pull into a parking lot, go in, pick up a menu, order, eat, and leave, and I'll pay your bill. Don't eat and run. But most people in their spiritual life are not intentional. They don't know how to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of them. And Paul said, in order to achieve this, there's one thing I do. Now, you know, when the Bible brings achievement down to one thing, it's a really important aspect of your Christian life. He said, I forget what's behind me. I let go of yesterday. Yesterday is Velcro to most people. It really is. And not just our failures, but even our successes. Don't let your success, don't let your failure even define you. Neither one. And he said, I forget and then I press toward something. I let go of what's behind me and then I move toward something, not something just indiscriminate, not something out there in this vagueness. But he said, I move toward and I want to apprehend and take hold of that for which Christ Jesus has taken hold of me. But most people rarely, and I'm telling you, the majority of Christians, I believe, live and they die. And they never take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of them. They never learn to live out of the deepest part of their life. They never learn to live out of that part that God made you to do with your life, the uniqueness of you, because they're trapped in their yesterday. You will never join your efforts to God's purpose and dream until you learn how to forget what's behind and press to what's forward. It is impossible to forget. It is impossible to forget without a pressing forward. Most people tread water. Let me say it this way. They'll fight their whole life to get free from their past, but never attach a pursuit to it. Never attach an intentionality of moving toward something. And they kind of tread water and they're going to fight to get free of their past. Let me give you an example. People who struggle with addiction, and they'll go to recovery programs. And by the way, I celebrate recovery, okay? This church for 15 years has had a recovery program and many people's lives have been changed. I'm thankful for that. Here, when we started the Victory Group here, when it came, and it didn't come out of me, it came out of a couple people in our church, one of which is Kay Little, and Kay had it in her heart, and for 15 years, Kay, along with the team at Victory Group, none of those are staff people, those are people just in the church, have literally impacted the lives of thousands and thousands of people. It's an incredible ministry. But when Kay came to me and said, I have this in my heart to start it, I said, Kay, well, here's going to be the distinction that I want with the Victory Group that I don't see in other recovery programs. Now, let me again give this caveat. Anything that helps you stay clean, I'm all for it, okay? So please don't misinterpret this. I'm not diminishing other recovery programs. However, what I found people doing in recovery programs is all they would celebrate is what they're not doing. They would hold a little chip in their hand that said that I'm sober for a day or a week. And listen, if you know anything about recovery, if somebody's sober for 12 hours, they'll celebrate it with you, okay? That's wonderful. But your life consists more than just not doing something. And what I began to see in a lot of recovery programs is the people became so self-focused, so inwardly giving attention to themselves and to every thought they have and every impulse they have and everything they want or don't want or should want, that they almost implode within themselves. And their purpose becomes not doing something. And that's no way to live. Now, I'm thankful if that process helps you stay clean. That's a really good thing. But can I tell you, you were made for more than just staying clean. You were made for a purpose. You were made to do something great with your life. You were made to be able to forget what is behind you and to press forward and to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of you. That's the distinction. And yet you can see how easily all of us, and look, if we started on this side of the auditorium this morning and had everybody had the opportunity to speak about the difficulties in their life and the tragedies in their life and the things they faced in their life, we'd all be in tears by the time we left here. There are stories of pain in this room that are so overwhelming, to hear them would break your heart. So our past is significant. Our past can be like Velcro and just hold us there. But you have to be intentional about moving beyond your yesterday. Walking with God gives you the ability, listen, to forget what's behind you. Now, let me explain. When I say forget, doesn't mean you lost your memory. The Bible says God, regarding our sins, he said, your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Now, we know God's not forgetful. Here's what he means. What you did yesterday has no impact on my relationship with you and your relationship with me because I choose to forget it. When your past no longer holds you is when it no longer, when it comes up in you, no longer brings you pain. It no longer demands a certain behavior out of you. Most people have learned to medicate their pain through behaviors. They can spiral into addiction. And you know, there are a lot of people that medicate their pain through anger. It's how they maintain control. They've been hurt, they've been wounded, and they know that if they throw up the anger wall, that it'll shut everybody down around them. There are people that are a little OCD. Anybody OCD, a little OCD? You know, OCD folks are a little, everything has to be in the row. A lot of times that's just a way to medicate. And you know you have a problem if the stuff you need to have in order drives everybody crazy. They're not wrong. You're just ill. But there's healing for you. But here, does it, now listen, then there are people like me that are just, like, order to me is just, I'm just not an ordered person. So that just is completely out of my kind of, like Steve Moore, I'm telling you, the dude is planned up to his funeral. And if I live longer than him, Last Christmas is playing at his funeral. I can tell you that. I'm showing that rascal. But we learn to medicate our pain, and it traps us to our past. And we learn to, and actually what we end up doing is we actually not only justify it, we deify it. That's how God made me. God just made me this way. No, God didn't mess you up. Life messed you up. How many of you know people have problems? Am I the only person here that has some stuff? See, you have stuff? Ask my wife. I've got stuff. Everybody does. But it doesn't have to dominate what you pursue for your future. It can lose the power of controlling your tomorrow. I want to talk to you just real quickly, and I mean, this is just a part of the message. Four things I want you to be intentional, and I mean intentional, about in 2015. Real simple stuff. And none of these four things in and of themselves are God. But all of these four things will assist you in taking hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of you. And the first one is this. Make it a habit to come to church. Listen to me now. Every weekend of your life, unless you're on vacation or something's going on that's legitimate, don't make church coming to with the people of God, coming together and getting under the word of God and worshiping God together as a church family sporadic or something you just, well, we kind of do it when it fits the schedule. Learn to put the things of God first in your life. See, and now, when spiritual things happen, it's just kind of like, yeah, we'll morph into that. That'll kind of happen. No, it won't. You have to be intentional. And let me say this as well. Bring your children to church every weekend of their life if it is reasonable. I'm not talking about being just some crazy, like legalistic thing. Well, hey, we're going on a vacation. I don't mean that. But look, can I tell you something? Stay-at-home parents don't raise go-to-church kids. I'm going to say that again. Stay-at-home parents don't raise go-to-church kids. And I promise you this, as a parent, there's going to come a day when you're going to want the influence of what God can do in your child's life. You're going to want that more than you want anything on the planet. And if you haven't created the culture in your home that your children don't think of going to church as an option, then they will exercise the same option you've shown them in your life. I don't say that to condemn anybody, but if you want your life to be different, you've got to do some things differently. We've set the whole first 4 weeks of the year to really get you on track spiritually. That's why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. The things everybody's seeking for, he said, they're an addition. They're not what you should seek for. Come to church first Wednesdays. Come to church every weekend. Make it a priority in your life. Get your kids in church. So what do you mean in church? Listen, the church, when you sit in these rooms, when your children are in those spaces, when your students on Saturday night are in our youth ministry or 19 North, the young adults ministry, it's not the words that are being spoken by a human being. The Holy Spirit is the teacher of the church. The most I can tell you times in my spiritual life, I remember where I was sitting in the church. I remember what church I was in. I remember the seat I was in. And I don't even remember who was speaking and what they were speaking about. But I remember when they said something, the Holy Spirit began to speak to me. And I don't remember who was even talking. It isn't about the person speaking. It's about the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And people miss out on the voice of God in the context of the local church. Life change occurs under the power of the word of God. The Bible calls it through the foolishness of preaching. But you've got to be intentional. So make the decision intentionally. Here's what you pretend it's like cheerleading practice. Or football practice. Okay, my daughter is a pom-pom girl, or pom-pom, I always get it backwards. Seneca Valley has a kick team thing with the band, pom-pom stuff. I got to tell you, Seneca Valley's band is unbelievable. I don't want to embarrass the people that run it, but they go here and they're awesome people. And the kick line girls, it's incredible. So I go, and I don't go to the football. I go to the band game. I watch the band because my daughter doesn't play football. So here's the deal. I do watch the game, but I'm there for halftime. Here's what I want you to know. My daughter has practice, so we're going to schedule our vacation around pom-poms. Wait, she made a commitment. That's his life. That's the way it is. I'm not opposed to it. But I'm telling you, we're very intentional about it. Alexa's already said, Daddy, now I'm on this team. We have to go. We can't be on vacation during this time. I'm committed to this. So our whole family is being intentional about when we have our vacation so my daughter can pom-pom. Hey, if your daughter's a cheerleader, or your son plays a sport, or your daughter plays a sport, or whatever they do, you're being very intentional about it, aren't you? Do you know how many parents during hockey season live on the road because their kids can go play hockey? Can I tell you something? It's great if you love hockey. It's great if your kids are great in sports. Can I tell you this? None of your kids are making a living at it. Oh, no, my son's going to. Just us. Come here. No, they're not. No, they might need a knee replacement later because of it, but they're not one in a bazillion are going to make a living at it. And your kid may be the one. That's wonderful. But for the most part, it ain't going to happen. So be intentional. Be intentional. Put this as a priority in your new year. Start next weekend. Be intentional. As I said, like cheerleading practice, pom-pom practice, football practice, make it important. How many of you have to go to work on Monday? I didn't say you want to go. How many have to go? How many of you are intentional about getting there on Monday morning? You better be intentional. Be intentional. Second thing I want to encourage you to do, if you haven't gone through Growth Track yet, do it. Next weekend starts 101. Get in 101. Starts concurrent with this service. Your kids can go to their classes, and you can understand what it means to connect to your local church and to really connect and what it means to be a member of a local church. The next week, 201, the essentials of the faith and understanding the Spirit-filled life. 301, discovering why you were put on the planet. Discovering that which for Christ Jesus has taken hold of you for. 401 is where you can begin to serve beyond yourself and learn where you fit in the service of the kingdom of God. Next, I want to encourage you, this is all in January. Do these simple things. Make it intentional. When small groups come online where you're able to join and connect to a small group, do it. Don't say, yeah, we'll do a small group somehow. You have to be intentional. And there's such a variety of things that you can involve yourself in. You may need the leader, should be called of God, or it's in your heart to lead a small group. Also, we have something called Life, living in freedom every day. It's a 12-week workbook you go through with a group of people. It's like a small group. It is a small group, but it's called Life. And then there's a retreat at the end of it. We just finished the retreat for the last term. It's incredible. It is my desire that every person in this church, at some point through our small group times, you go through Life, living in freedom every day. If getting on my knees and begging you to do it would get you to make the steps, then I'd beg, because it will change your life. Then lastly, in the month of January, you make a decision that you're going to find a place to serve and give that does not benefit you directly. Live outside of yourself. I've got too many problems. Let me get myself together, then I can help other people. You'll never get there. You never build your life by self-focus alone. You will build your life by living outside of your life. These are spiritual principles. But you'll never get past your past if you don't make steps toward your future. Those simple four things I mentioned to you, making church a priority, getting your kids in church as a priority, going through the growth track, connecting in your local church, finding out where you should be involved in serving, getting in a small group or leading a small group, or in the context of small groups, maybe taking the life course. And then lastly, giving of yourself, beyond yourself, not focused on yourself, living beyond your own issues, your own problems. That's why Proverbs 3:5 tells us this. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Now listen, and do not lean to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Trust the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean. Now listen, He said, don't put weight. Don't lean the balance of your life just to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and what will He do? He will direct your path. He'll take you to the place that He's called you. He'll take you to the place from which He took hold of you. It's so critically important, and yet so many of God's people will not let go of the need to have understanding. Now, let me connect that to one word. Why? That simple word is what traps many, many people to their yesterday. They want to know why. Why, God? Why did my mother? God, why was my father? God, why did my cousin? God, why did that family member? God, why did my neighbor? God, why did? And you want to know why. Why? Why? And you place your need to understand above the command to trust God. And I'm telling you, I have watched people literally get trapped in their past and hold God hostage to having to have their question answered. Why? And in essence, point the finger at God and say, until I understand, I will not trust you and I will not walk with you. Now, all of us want to have understanding. I can tell you this. How many of you like me might say, when you die and go to heaven, I have some questions. Anybody have some that are unanswered? I do. I have a feeling when we get to heaven that we're going to know Jesus as he's known, and a lot of those questions will just be answered simply by the light. But I think right now that I've got a list. Lord, can you help me understand this? And can you help me understand that? There was a guy in the Bible who had a very similar situation. And the why question was so pervasive in his life. And you'll understand why when I talk to you a little bit about his life. How many of you have heard of a guy named Job? Now, we weren't raised with the Bible. First time when I saw that in the Bible, I thought it was the book of Job. And because I was always taught you had to work. So I thought, well, there's a whole book of the Bible about getting a job. But it's the book of Job, okay? And Job was a wealthy man. The Bible said the blessing of God was upon him abundantly. And then Satan began to afflict Job. And he lost everything. His kids died. He lost everything he had, and his health went away. He was sick. It was horrible what happened to this man. But Job didn't know what we know. We read the book of Job. We see it wasn't God that was his problem. God was the one blessing him. Satan was afflicting him. But Job doesn't even know there is such an entity. So for 40-plus chapters in the book of Job, Job, in essence, along with his wife and his friends, are asking why. And they're coming up with all of these ideas as to why this has happened to Job. They begin to even blame God for it. Now, we know God didn't do it. But you know, Christians do the same thing today. Listen to what Job said in Job 1. This is after all this stuff came upon him. Verse 20. At this, Job got up, tore his robe, shaved his head. He fell to the ground in worship. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Job, in his ignorance, thought God did this to him. Now, I've heard Christians quote that like it's the Bible, God speaking. Everything in the Bible is accurately recorded by who spoke it or who it was spoken by, but it is not God's words. Those are Job's words. I've heard Christians say, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord forever. Like that's God's word. That's Job's words. And you'll see in a little bit, God said those words were folly. All you have to do is read the book of Job and you'll see God didn't take it away. The Bible clearly tells you who took it away. But Job, now listen, from his perspective, he couldn't see all of these answers. He didn't know what we know today. He didn't have the scripture that we have today. All Job thought was that God blessed me and now he cursed me. But there's something interesting that Job did. In all of his ramblings and all of his friends' ramblings, he refused to stop trusting God, even when he didn't understand. And Job had some crazy stuff going on around him. I mean, some crazy stuff. He had some lousy friends. I'm telling you, Job's friends are dead today, but I'm telling you, they're still alive in some ways. Because his friends are coming and said, Job, listen, it's your fault. You did something stupid, now God's beating your brains in. It's your fault, Job, it's your fault. And Job began to say things like this. He said, I curse the day I was born. He said, God, why did you let me be born? He's asking the questions. He's like, I curse the day I was conceived. This guy's just... He's cursing everything about him. And then he says something incredible that shows you the heart of this man. that we can learn from Job. He says to God, though you slay me, I will trust you. And Christians will quote that like God's wanting to kill them. Read the book, it wasn't God doing the evil. But Job didn't know that. And what you see is a thread in Job's life that in his lack of, listen, understanding, he chose to trust God and leaned on his trust toward God more than he needed understanding. The why question will ruin your life. The why question is a pursuit. It's an endless cycle of human reasoning and ultimately will drop you into human pride. Job's wife finally comes to him. Now, how's this for a marriage? Baby, curse God and die. That's what his wife told him. Boy, just curse God and die. Now, that's till death do you part. She's like, I've had enough of you. Just die. Curse God and die. Not everybody around Job was helping him. His friends blamed him. Job's wife tells him to die. And Job begins to cry out to God. He said, God, you got to tell me. You've got to tell me. You've got to tell me why. And God answered him. Listen to what God said to Job in Job 38, verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the storm, and he said to him, now this is pretty wild stuff. Who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Everybody say words without knowledge. Now we're getting somewhere here. Stick with me. When God began to speak to Job about his questions, he said, who is this that's darkening my counsel with words without knowledge? It tells you everything Job said wasn't even true. God said, son, you don't know what you're talking about. But look what he goes on to say. Now brace yourself like a man, and I will question you, and you will answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched the measuring line across it? On what were its footing set, and who laid its cornerstone? And while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. He said, Job, were you there when I did all this? And you know what's interesting? In 40 chapters of questions, 40 chapters of ramblings, 40 chapters of words without knowledge, God never answered one question they had. He didn't even give Job as much information as we have from reading the book of Job. Why? Because my knowing has nothing to do with my trusting God. Now, we know this. We have more revelation than Job did. We know that Jesus said it is Satan, the thief, that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and God comes to give life and life abundantly. But you know the Bible also says this about you and me in the New Testament, that we now see through a mirror dimly lit, but then face to face. There are a lot of things we don't see the full picture. We don't have all the light there is. So the why question that plagued Job can plague you. It can trap you in your past. But Job refused to let the why question supersede his desire to love God and to trust God. And that's what you and I have to understand about this issue. If you don't know how to trust God above having to get all your questions answered, if you don't know how to say, Lord, no, I don't understand all that. No, I do see through a mirror dimly lit. You know, years ago when Michelle and I, before we pastored, we spoke in churches around the country and eventually we moved to Africa and spent a year on the mission field. There was one year we slept in over 300 beds. We were constantly on the road traveling. And so it began to be, how many of you know when you wake up in the morning, sometimes you're just, you know, not all there. Well, I would wake up in the morning, I'd wake up, I know I'm awake, and I'd think, I keep my eyes closed, and I'd try to remember what city I was in. I go, okay, now where are we? And I'd try to remember it. I mean, so we're constantly traveling. Well, when you're in a different, how many of you hate to stub your toe? It's one of my worst, I just hate unnecessary pain. I just think it's a waste of time. But when you're in a different room every night, and the room's dark, you look up and you see something in the room because it's dimly lit. You can't tell what it is. That monster is actually just, you know, a coat rack. You look over and really like, what is that in this room? Where am I? And you're trying to figure it out. The minute you turn the light on, everything's clear. Well, The Bible says, even in the New Testament, as a child of God, we live in a world where what we understand is dimly lit. Now, when we see God face to face, we'll be in the full light, just like the light in my hotel room. That image over there, what is that? I can remember looking at something distinctly thinking, what is that? The room's darkened and I'm trying to figure it out. What is that? And I'm looking and I can't figure it out. And then you turn the light on and it's clear as a bell what it is. Most people stay in a room dimly lit in their past and do this constantly. What is that? What is that? And you can't go forward living in the past. Now, there are some things you might be able to understand. And there's some things, in fact, the Bible says God could even reveal to your heart. You may get some answers, and you may not. There's nowhere in Scripture that God is obligated to answer your questions. In fact, we have a whole book in the Bible that consisted of nothing more than the ramblings of people trying to understand what's going on, why. And when God did show up supernaturally, He didn't answer one of their questions. But here's the cool thing about Job's life. Because he trusted God, Job's latter days were greater than his former days. Listen to what the Bible said. God blessed Job again. Job 42, verse 12, and the Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first. He doubled everything that he had. God blessed this man. Everybody say, God blessed him. Now, I'm about to read you a list of stuff that you probably wouldn't want in Cranberry Township. But this is how God prospered people in an agricultural society. Now, let me tell you, if you're in Nebraska and you live in parts of Nebraska or even parts of Pennsylvania, this will be really good for you. But not if you live in the proper Cranberry Township area here. In fact, you wouldn't be allowed to have 14,000 sheep. And he started out with 7,000. Now he has 14,000. God blessed him with 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels. That's a lot of camels. 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 donkeys. And then he also had 7 sons and 3 more daughters. God blessed his life. Now, I don't know much about farming, but do you know how much land you have to have to care to be able to provide for all those animals? Everyone say, God bless Job. Do you know that God wants to bless you too? So you're talking about prosperity between you and me and God and the Bible. Yes. I said, yes. God wants to prosper his kids. That should be common sense to anybody who's a parent. Anybody a parent? How many of you want your kids to prosper? Is there anybody here that want your kids to be dirt poor, stealing for a living, begging for bread? Anybody here? Stand up and shout and say, I'm a worthless parent. There you go. Now, none of you want your kids to grow up and be covetous and money hungry and misusing people for money. That's very different than being blessed. But God blessed his servant Job. Oh, and how he wants to take you into the things he's prepared for you. He wants you to have an overflow in your life. He wants you to have an overflow in peace, an overflow in your well-being, your overflow in your spiritual life. Oh, how he loves you. It's an amazing way to live. And I want to encourage you as we kind of put a cap on 2014, that I want you to be very intentional today, that come next weekend, whether Saturday night or Sunday morning, outside of you being outside of the country or having to, there are legitimate reasons why people can't come to church. I get that. I'm not talking about that. But for most times, most people, it's simply because, And this isn't about filling you in a seat here. This is about getting your life changed. Be intentional. Bring your kids, bring yourself. Make the first 4 weeks of the new year, put God first. That's why the Bible said the first part of the week they came together. And they even brought offerings the first part of the week of their own substance. They put God first in every part of their life and they started the week that way. That's how God's called us to live. And I want to encourage you. Do that. Don't pray about doing it. Don't think about doing it.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's Word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, life@victory.com.
Right now, you said in your heart before God, these next 4 weeks, and including the first Wednesday, if it's at all possible for me to be here with my kids, they're coming. And by the way, you could still send your kids to Jack Frost, which is, you know, we have a summer camp called Jack Camp, and it's incredible for teenagers. And so we do it in the winter, and it's like a winter retreat, and we call it Jack Frost. Kind of cool. Cute name. It starts tomorrow evening, and then it's there's a schedule for Tuesday, schedule for New Year's Eve. They're going to bring in the new year together in the presence of God, having a blast. How many of you think it'd be really good to have a 15-year-old learn how to worship Jesus on a New Year's Eve instead of go out and get stupid drunk? So I'm just trusting God. Get your child in the presence of God so you don't have to trust God when they go stupid. Please, I beg you, let God work in your kid's life. How many of you, God will speak when you ain't there? How many of your kids can do stuff and you didn't find out until they're old? How many of you told your parents some of the stupid you did and surprised them years later? Do you know God will parent when you can't? He'll help your child. Make it a priority in your life. So I don't know how to do that. Stop at the information center. Ask anybody that looks like they know something in this church with a badge. How do I get my kid to Jack Frost? We'll tell you. Sign up online. Show up. I think it's $50. There's meals. There's stuff. Your kids will have a blast. And the presence of God in their life. What a way to end the year. Well, my teenager doesn't like such things. Come here. Just us. We're closing. Just us. We're about done. Be a parent. Stop asking your kids for permission in their spiritual lives. Ah! Is it just me? What will they think? Who cares? Be a stinking parent. It's like, get your kid into the things of God on purpose. Just like you make them go to school on purpose. Put on clothes that don't stink on purpose. Come on, man. This is how you change your life. It's how you change your kid's life. How many of your kids, you want your kid to marry somebody godly? How many, I'm serious, you want to marry a godly person? Wouldn't it be good if they're godly? Oh, okay, well, I just want them to ruin someone else's life. Come on. Guys, I want to encourage you as we wind it down this last of this year. You can make, your life can be different if you'll be intentional and let God move in these capacities in your life and forget what's behind you. Press on to what's in front of you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Awesome way to live. Awesome way to live. Awesome way to live. Would you bow your heads? I want to pray for you. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to pray for you. Before I give the invitation for those who want to make Jesus the Lord of their life, I want to make certain that you have an opportunity to make a decision before God for you to take some next steps in your spiritual life. If you're here this morning, you say, you know, Pastor John, there's some things that I've got to let go of behind me. There's some wires that have tied me to my past like Velcro. And I want the help of the Holy Spirit today. And I want to step beyond those things. And I want to lay some intentionality in my life and in the life of my children. And things are going to be different by the grace of God because I'm going to choose differently. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I can tell you, I know my hand's going up. There's not an area in all of our lives can make gains in God. If you're serious, some of you, it might be as simple as coming to church and getting your kids here, getting in a small group, going through growth track, serving. These are simple things that will help you apprehend and take hold of that for which God has taken hold of you. If you're here this morning, you say, you know what? I want to make a decision in my heart. I want the help of the Holy Spirit to let go of yesterday. And then I'm going to choose that I'm going to make some press forward decisions. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you'd like to be included in that prayer, very quickly, raise your hand, put it right back down, and I'm going to pray for you. Sure, hands are everywhere. All of us can be in that. But let me pray for you. Father, I pray for every person in this room that their next step spiritually, that they'll take them. But before they can, I thank you that they truly, by the grace of God, can let yesterday go. Like Job, though, and like all of us, there's things we don't understand. But we will trust you with all of our heart and not lean to our own understanding. In all of our ways, we will acknowledge you and you will direct our paths. We thank you for that. And so, Father, I pray for the Holy Spirit the wonderful Holy Spirit of our God to fall upon hearts and lives today, to do works in people's hearts where they've been hurt and wounded and broken. You are the one that heals the brokenhearted and set the captive free. In Jesus' name, I pray the power of God upon this room, upon every life, to like a wellspring of life from within them that makes them free. Father, I thank you for the next steps that we will take as we follow Jesus intentionally and lead our families into life. With every head remaining bowed and every eye closed, if you're here and you don't know Jesus as the Lord of your life, if today you were to draw your final breath and slip into an eternity, do you know where you'd spend it? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I don't know if I died today where I'd spend my forever. Please know that you don't go to heaven because you're a good person or attend church or a member of a church or were baptized a baby. All of those things are great, but none of those things make you a Christian. None of them. None of them. The only thing that makes you right with God is by receiving Jesus. If you've never done that or you're not sure and you'd say, Pastor, please include me in a prayer. I want to invite Jesus in my heart to be the Lord and Savior of my life. I'll pray for you right where you're seated. In fact, the whole church will pray the prayer out loud and together with you right where you're seated. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. Right where you're seated, I'll pray for you. The whole church prayed out loud together with you. Just lift your hand up real high right now and I'll pray for you. Do it right now. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you. God bless you. Heads are bowed. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. You've not yet raised your hand. Thank you. Raise your hand if you've not yet done so. Include me, Pastor John, in that prayer. And I'll pray for you as well, right where you're seated. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you. God bless you, young man. God bless you. Thank you. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Hey, if you raised your hand, or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it with your very own ears. Jesus will come into your heart. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear the debt of my sin. I open my life, and Jesus, I receive you now to be my Savior and my Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin is washed away. I am heaven bound. I confess boldly that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Give them a hand, would you? God bless you.